Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. More than one-fourth of the dogs that arrive at the Franklin County Dog Shelter each year are either lost dogs or they're returned by their adoptive owners. We want to help people avoid the latter, the buyer's remorse, the overwhelming feeling that you've gotten yourself in over your head. Coming up, we'll talk with the director of the Franklin County Department of Animal Care and Control, and we'll meet a local veterinarian. They'll help us help you make some better decisions about adopting a dog, or if somebody you know is adopting a dog, or if your kid wants a dog. Joining us now is local author Michael Rosen. He just finished his latest book, My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. A former Thurber House literary director, Michael is the writer, editor, and illustrator of more than 80 books for both children and young adults. He's also considered a philanthropist and animal activist, and he founded the Company of Animals Fund, which has awarded $360,000 to 100 humane societies across the country. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Happy to be here, as always.
And may we also welcome...
Oh, yeah, Blue Angel is here, my shelter dog that is my pack at present.
And how old is Blue Angel?
She, actually, the wonderful people at MedVet did an eye check so they could see the layers of lens and determine that not 11, which is what the shelter had guessed, and it was a good guess, but 8. So I got 3 bonus years.
This Saturday, Michael Rosen will help celebrate the grand opening of the new Franklin County Dog Shelter at the Old Northern Mall space. So for more information, go to friendsoftheshelter.info. And you can get everything you need to know about that event on Saturday with Michael Rosen. If you have a question or comment about how to pick out a dog, what kind of dog might be right for you, maybe you've already have your adoptive dog and you're having problems or questions, give us a call. We'll be getting to those coming up later in the next segment. You can call 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can go to our Facebook page, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and post your question or comment there. And so the question for listeners not sure of what dog will be right for you, give us a call. We'll try to help you. And do you have a special story about adopting a dog from an animal shelter? Share it with us. 614-292-8513. So, Michael Rosen, I know that your specialty is children and young adults as an author, but your book was written for children. Why did it occur to you that this was something that was necessary?
Actually, as you just suggested, it's really written for a family.
Okay.
But I didn't want kids to be left out of the conversation because the first thing you do around adopting an animal is have what I call the pre-pet powwow, where everyone has to sit down together and do it like a family inventory and assess how much time do we have, how much energy do we have. Does drooling bug us? Do we want a dog that really wants a lot of attention? Do we travel a lot? Are we big exercise people? And those decisions are really the key. And the book, My Dog, is meant to cue that conversation, support that conversation, and do something that most people, I mean, if you would ask me what the one fatal flaw is, why do parents say, well, you know, my kid wanted a dog, all I do is everything. You know, the kid's enthusiasm was literally puppy love. And that is, the kid's needs aren't met. So I tried to create a book that met both a dog's needs and a kid's needs. And if I were to say what the difference is, because many of the things they want to do are very similar, but dogs want, need, crave routine, repetition. They want to know this is when we do what. And kids, not so much. Kids want to, what's next?
My guest is Michael Rosen. He's author of My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. We welcome your calls. We'd love to hear a story that you have about adopting a dog from an animal shelter. 614-292-8513. Your book includes, Michael, an actual contract that you ask new owners to sign. It's a small way. I mean, an actual contract. It's not just the chit-chat. It's putting it down in writing.
Again, we're talking about how a family comes together and says, let's anticipate what really is going to be required here and who is going to be the person that will collectively take care of this animal. Well, it is all of us. I mean, I meet families all the time where kids are unable to do anything with the dog because the dog only listens to mom. Or the dog is too strong, hasn't learned to walk on a leash correctly. And I created this book with the sole purpose that you invite the dog into as much of the good life as possible, that you don't let the dog's misbehavior determine that little fraction of your company that he gets to share. Well, the dog can't come in the house because blank. We don't let the dog upstairs because blank. He can't go in the car. We can't go to someone's house. I can't take him to the park because blank. That's terrible. And there's no reason you can't predict those so that they don't even have to be solved.
Your book shows a lot of knowledge about canine companionship, and I know you're a dog lover yourself, but you did have help. How did you decide when to go get technical help?
What's interesting about this book is 17 years ago it came out in a much smaller version with Workman Publishing called The Kid's Best Dog Book. And at the time, the dog training world was not televised in the same way now that everybody has a favorite person, a favorite technique. And so then the core research was in books. And so I did a great deal of comparing and trying to figure out what would work best for a kid. So when I had the chance to vastly expand it, I mean, as I was saying earlier, this book at one point was going to be about 400 pages. And so we put some of it on our website and we cut some of it out because I wanted kids to feel that it wasn't a daunting task and that the fundamentals of both training and dog care are really pretty simple. It's based on a consistent and thoughtful approach, which I know we're a overscheduled, hasty, impatient culture right now. And so a lot of the problems that develop might be easy to solve, except we kind of don't have time.
You write about finding the right dog. What do we know? I mean, that means that a lot of people end up getting the wrong dog. So let's first talk about that. When is somebody getting the wrong dog?
Here's what I love. I love when someone comes up and says, what's the perfect dog for my family? And so, not to be a smart aleck, I say, are you planning on hunting wild boar or bear? Then you need an Akita. Do you have problems keeping your sheep out of traffic? You need a border collie. Have reindeer? You need a Samoyed. You know, most of us don't really have a need for anything. We might decide that we have a quality need. I really want an energetic dog. I want to go jogging. I want a big dog because I really love that I want him on my bed and I want to feel like I've got this great protective presence in my life. Or no, I want a little dog that sits on my lap that I can take to the grocery store on my purse and no one will know I have a dog in the grocery store.
And I can't hear them yip.
Right. So those are the kinds of conversation starters that I want a family to have. They really say, you know, if things break around the house, we'll be really upset. We have a lot of fragile stuff. We like to go in the car. We go to the beach. We have another house. We're in a busy community. We don't want a dog that will interfere with that lifestyle. So many decisions, I think, particularly for first families, a shelter dog is going to be an animal that sort of gives you a pass on some of the really troublesome stuff. You don't have to deal with crate training. You don't have to deal with nipping. You know, some of the stuff that really, they're solvable. You know, a little experience makes that easy. But a lot of inexperience makes a more suitable match. A dog that's already pretty trained. You already can recognize the personality that the dog has. You can already see that you'll be able to fall into a pattern that would be easier for kids and parents to manage.
The book includes a big section on other dogs. Well, not it has just describes a lot of the dogs, and it has a big fold-out section with pictures of them. Why was that important? I mean,
you can
see it, but you framed it in terms of what you'll see in the neighborhood,
right?
Not necessarily what you might want to buy.
I go back to what are kids' needs, and I want them to make sweet potato rawhide chews. I want them to make their own homemade toys. I want them to invent an obstacle course in the backyard because that's novelty, that's engagement. And I also want them to learn about dogs, be able to recognize different kinds of dogs because that increases their passion and connection. You know, I know many people who are bird watchers. You know, until you're a bird watcher, there are birds. You just sort of say, yeah, well, whatever, there are birds. But once you begin to identify and look and seek your curiosity, your engagement, is increased profoundly. And so I want kids to know, yep, this part of my dog is called the stop. This part is called the withers. And that dog over there is a Great Pyrenees, just because it's interesting.
You know, one thing you mentioned that kind of caught me off guard that I didn't do. And I there's one thing about the book. You start reading it, and even though you think you're a good pet owner, everything may not fit the bill with what you did. And I was wondering about that. How nothing's absolute. Ultimately, this is sort of ultimately, you know, no one's going to read this and imprint it on their brain and do everything in it that you tell them to do. So what? And one of the things was taking the puppy on a walk around the neighborhood before introducing it to the house. That never even occurred to me. It seemed a smart thing to do. I get it now, but I can't go back and do that over with. She's 4 years old. But so what do you want? What's the takeaway from this? What do you want people to take away most importantly?
I want this to be the equivalent of a driver's ed course. In other words, no one would think of getting behind the wheel of a car without having taken a driver's ed course. I want people to approach getting a dog with a driver's ed course for dogs. So this is puppy ed. This is dog care ed. And yes, you'll translate it into your own life. For example, Anne, I define, being a smart aleck, obedience as an acceptable level of disobedience. Everybody arrives at what is okay. Is a little barking okay? A lot of barking fine? Constant barking fine? Well, then it doesn't matter. If, you know, your dog comes to you eventually and that's adequate, fine. But for some people, come means my dog proceeds directly toward me, sits in front of me, puts his eyes up, looks at my eyes, and puts his eyes in, you know, looks at me in the eye and waits until I say, okay, and give a soft clap. Well, you may not want to do that.
But it depends on what you're willing to live with.
Exactly.
Like dog on the couch, dog on the bed, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay, I hope someone out there is listening to that. 614-292-8513, or you could email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page. We have some experts in the studio today. If you have questions about your dog, particularly adoptive dogs, and we'd love to hear your stories, give us a call, and we'll try to answer them. So we're going to take a quick break right now. When we return, we'll continue with our conversation with Michael Rosen, author of My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet, and more. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
When you can't be near the radio, you can still listen to 89.7 NPR News by streaming our station at WOSU.org. Just visit our website and click on the Listen Now button at the top of the page and stream 89.7 NPR News on your computer or mobile device using our new audio player. It's easy. Just visit WOSU.org.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
57 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies currently. Expect rain showers off and on throughout the day. And wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour at times, a high of 62. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 37 degrees. A chance of rain for Thursday, a high of 46. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the all-important decision to buy or adopt a dog and what kind of dog and how old of a dog. Maybe it's for you, maybe for your spouse, maybe for your child, maybe somebody you know is thinking about it. We want to help. Still with us is Michael Rosen, author of the new book, My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. Once again, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks, Ann.
And joining us now is Joe Rock. He's the director and dog warden of the Franklin County Dog Shelter and Adoption Center. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Ann. Nice to be here.
And also with us, Dr. Chris Coffran. She's the managing veterinarian at the Animal Hospital of Worthington. She personally favors Labrador Retrievers, I understand, but also loves cats and quarter horses. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you.
This question, I guess, well, why don't we get to Anita? She's been waiting a while, and she has a good question. Hi, Anita. You're on the air.
Hi there. I
found a white Labrador retriever stuck between the fence and the highway on I-70 at Kelton. And a policeman with, he was a canine unit, he came along with treats and was able to coax the dog out finally. And then a police truck showed up, and they were able to load it up into the truck. And I was never, you know, I didn't find out whatever happened to that dog and whether or not it was reunited with its owners. And I would just really, you know, I'd worry about it. So I'd like to know if I can find out whatever happened to that dog.
Joe Rock?
Yeah, we pick up many dogs from police agencies, and the majority of those dogs are not reclaimed by the owners, unfortunately. We will hold the dog for 3 days if it's not wearing a current license. If it is wearing a current license, we hold it for 14 days, which is why it's very important to have a license tag on your dog. The best thing to do would be contact a police agency to ensure that they did surrender the dog over to us, and then contact our shelter, and if you can give them the date and the location the dog was picked up, we can give you the status.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Anita, take care.
One other thing,
yeah,
Anne,
sure,
that brings up, I think, is the importance of microchipping your dog. They can slip a collar. You can have a dog that gets away for a variety of reasons, and if they don't have a way to be permanently identified, you're in trouble.
Do you check for microchips, Joe?
Yes, we do. We scan every dog that comes in, as well as checking for the license.
Microchipping, that's just a slightly, just inserting under the skin. How is it expensive, Chris Coughlin?
You know, it depends on the type of chip and the registration. I want to say it's probably, you can get them done at clinics probably for as little as $25, which is basically the cost of the chip. Veterinarians may charge a little more. You can go online and register the dog yourself, but of course that's critical. They have to be registered with a database so that they can be traced back. But no, it's a very simple procedure. It can be done on any animal.
And she makes a good point that you do have to register, and if you move or change phone numbers, you have to update that information or else it's useless to us. And we do microchip every dog that we adopt out, so that is another added safeguard in addition to the license.
Tim, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, thank you. I wanted to say that I have adopted several dogs over my lifetime. I'm nearing 70 now. And I've had very little problem adopting hunting dogs, but smaller dogs like Boston Jack Russell Terriers, Terrier Crosses, and so forth, I've had a great deal of problem with separation anxiety in those breeds, and I'd like to get a small breed now, but I'm a little bit scared to do so because I'd like to avoid this separation anxiety problem I've experienced in the past.
Chris?
You know, that's a good question. We certainly do see separation anxiety in dogs, and I don't know that I can limit it to small breeds. We can see it in mixed breeds. We can see it in purebreds, small dogs, and large dogs. There may very well be a genetic component to that, but certainly environment plays a role. And, you know, if you have a dog that has separation anxiety, certainly that's a panic disorder, and you need to deal with your veterinarian to get some help because the dog needs help. And there are several things that you can do to improve that. Sometimes medication is required. We've got good veterinary behaviorists that can help. You know, there is help available for dogs with separation anxiety. In terms of avoiding a dog with separation anxiety, that can be a little tough. I think one of the things that we deal with at our clinic when we talk to a owner that's looking to pick up a dog, you know, the question becomes, do you want a puppy? Do you have the time for a puppy? Do you want an older dog? Purebred versus mixed breed. And a lot of the questions come back to time, energy, commitment from the owner. But, you know, when you get an older dog, be it a purebred or a mixed breed dog, you lose the ability in many cases to know what type of experience and environment that dog has come from. So I think with any older dog, you've got the potential to deal with a little more of those problems. Now, certainly they are they're things you can deal with. But I don't know that I could restrict separation anxiety to any individual breed.
I mean, one of the things that I think is very profound is dogs in the wild are not neurotic. They've figured out how to lead a life because it's a routine and it's predictable and they know where they stand and they know what happens next. I think separation anxiety, a lot of it has to do with the dog's inability to predict what's happening. And I think when people rehome a dog, bring it home for the first time, I tried to go into this in the book to a degree. There are ways that you can help a dog feel confident. And one is by starting very slowly. You do not give the dog the entire house. You don't introduce the dog to every member of the family. You don't take it on a ride. You don't take it. For the first 2 weeks, you make a very limited one thing at a time. I know where I live. I know where I sleep. I know where food comes from. I know your voice. Who's that person? Mm-hmm. I don't know who that person is. Is that a stranger? Is that a good person? Slowly being able to build the dog's world that way, I think, reduces the potential.
Joe Rock, what do you do at the shelter level to try to figure out these kinds of behaviors and so that you can help adoptive families deal with them?
The shelter dogs, it's sometimes difficult to pick up on shelter or on separation anxiety because they're in a environment where they're surrounded by animals and there's people pretty much walking by all the time. We do get dogs turned in from owners who tell us that I can't deal with this. The dog has separation anxiety. If it's moderate, what we feel is moderate, we'll try to observe, send it to a foster home to see how it does there in a home environment. We often recommend crate training, but we've even had dogs that tear apart crates because they are suffering so much from the disorder. So it's very difficult, and we always refer them to veterinarians or to trainers to work through those type of problems.
Okay, Tim, thanks for that call, and good luck. We have an email from Heidi. She says, if you live in a townhouse in the city without a backyard, what type of large dogs would adapt best, especially with two cats under the age of two? Boy, Heidi, would we be better off getting a puppy or a young dog? Chris, you want to take a swat at that?
I guess the first thing I would say is, Heidi, if you don't work and you are home full time and you can commit to walking a dog very frequently, maybe you can find a large breed that would suit you. It's tough in that environment. It's very tough. And, you know, because all large breeds need exercise, some more than others. And exercise is critically important to avoid behavior problems, to make them trainable, and to have them happy. You know, it's not just if I have time, it's needed for the dog. So I think what comes back pretty quickly to me, or what comes to mind with you, is how much time do I realistically have to get that dog exercised? And whether it's a puppy or an older dogs in general may require less exercise. So I would be thinking more in terms of an older dog than a puppy.
If you're going to go large.
If you're going to go large, unless you have unlimited amounts of time. But you got to make a commitment to a lot of exercise. And you have to do that with an older dog, too.
Joe Rock, how much do you talk to people about that at the shelter level when they're looking at adopting? And do you ask them about where they live? And
yeah, some people find our process cumbersome, but it's really for the best interest of both the owner and the dog. We get a pretty good idea through our volunteers and our staff, the basic behaviors of the dog, and if a dog requires a lot of exercise. So on our applications, it's about 4 pages, and we ask the questions, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a dog that likes to exercise? Are you looking for a dog that just wants to sit on the couch with you? And we try to steer them in the right direction. We never make the decision for them, but we give them all the information that they hopefully need to make a good decision based on their lifestyle.
I try to encourage people. I try to say, if you have good reasons not to get a dog now, they're valid. Let's go with them rather than try to work around them. I mean, there are times in your life. Right now, I have one animal. I would like to have several. But this isn't the time in my life that having several dogs makes any sense. So I think it's important to resist or to listen to your own inclination that says, you know, I think I'm juggling quite a lot now. And there may be an exceptional animal that can fit into that circumstance, but I wouldn't want to trial and error.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about what to do when you decide you want to adopt a dog. My guest, Michael Rosen, author of a new book. It's called My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. Also, Christine Coffrin, she's a managing veterinarian for the Animal Hospital of Worthington. And Joe Rock, he's director of the Franklin County Dog Shelter and Adoption Center. And there is a grand opening on Saturday. Michael Rosen will be there to help celebrate the grand opening of the new Franklin County Dog Shelter at the Old North End Mall space. For more information, visit friendsoftheshelter.info. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question for our guests. And David in Clintonville, you don't exactly want to know how to adopt a dog, but I had to take your call because I've been in the same situation.
Oh, thanks. I do appreciate dogs. They're wonderful pet therapy. It's a wonderful thing. Seeing eye dogs, all great. A well-behaved dog is a wonderful thing. But
you're a dog lover. We'll.
Okay. But I ride a bicycle a great deal. And I've been chased by quite a few dogs. There seems to be something about a bicycle that riles a dog a little more than just walking by it. I don't know what it is, but it seems to get them going. I've tried these little bark-off devices. It doesn't seem to help anything. The dog barks continuously. Even walking by the river, I've actually been charged by a dog who was off its leash. I don't know if that's the right thing. I guess it doesn't matter, but I must be having bad luck with dogs. Can I wear some sort of scent?
All right.
You know, Michael Rosen? The first part is you're suddenly chaseable. I mean, it's exciting to be, you know, you're an object that particularly for a dog that likes the chase. But
someone's not controlling their dog.
No. There's the point. You know, as much as you can do, the problem really is the neighbor or the. I appreciate it. Sounds like it's not a neighbor. It's any number of animals that might be problematic. If it were a neighbor, you know. Definitely bringing that to their attention, even working with them to try to do a negative experience. Right now, the dog's having a positive experience, fun to chase. And look, I chased him away.
Right. It may be fun. And then you're also not sure, though, is it also want to rip my pants off? Chris Coffrin, what do you recommend that David do to protect himself, given his ignorance of what the dog wants to do?
You know, Ann, I don't know that I have any real good suggestions. You know, a bike rider's in that position of they're vulnerable. Other than move across the street if they can, out away from the dog's property, certainly as much as you can, and many times you can't, that would be helpful. Because as Michael said, you know, you have dogs that are programmed to chase, especially the herding breeds, but all dogs do to a certain extent. It's fun, it's exciting. And dogs that say, I've got my territory, my job is to protect my territory, here's an intruder, I've got to chase them off. And so it's a pretty normal behavior for many dogs. And short of trying to remove yourself from the scene, I don't know that you have any really good options. Obviously, it's an issue of owners controlling their dogs.
You know, when I'm in the park and a dog does something like that, you know the owner's probably around somewhere and you can start yelling for him. But when you're out in the country and a big German Shepherd charges you off someone's porch and there's nowhere to go and there's no one to scream at, all you can do is keep battling.
Well, in those situations, and I mean, you know, we certainly talk about children and what do you do when a strange dog comes up to you? Certainly you make yourself very unoffensive and not afraid or make the dog not be afraid of you. So that's a situation where you don't stare at the dog. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't turn and run. You don't make noise. You may look away from the dog. You certainly would not have eye contact. And
don't wave your arms in the air.
Don't wave your arms. Yeah. And the thing that is said to children if they're attacked, of course, is drop, roll, and make yourself like a log. So you are totally uninteresting to the dog and no threat. And that's good advice for anyone that gets charged by a strange dog.
Joe, do you check for chasers?
Yes, absolutely. We have our deputy wardens who make up a good portion of our department, and that's our primary mission is public safety. We would recommend that anybody that encounters that calls us and reports it. So if nothing else, if the dog is back inside or back with the owner, we can go out and talk to the owner and let them know that that's not acceptable. But they can actually be charged and summons to court for stuff like that. So it's not only inconvenience for the person being menaced, but it's against the law for the owners to allow their dogs to engage in behavior like that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David, for that call. Cynthia, you're in Columbus, and we welcome your call.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I got a dog from Franklin County Animal Shelter, I don't know, about in 2006, and I understand that she was microchipped and I don't know that I registered. How do I find out if she's registered or go about registering her after the fact?
Right. You can contact the shelter. If you give them your name, they can access the chip number. And if you don't know the chip number, we can give that to you. Then you can call the company just to ensure that it's registered.
Okay, Cynthia?
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the call. From Lori on Facebook, she writes, rescued my Gracie, a 10-year-old toy poodle from CHA.
Citizens for Humane.
Thank you.
Citizens for Humane Action.
Okay. Oh, Citizens for Humane Action? Okay. Yeah. Animal shelter last year, and she has so changed my life. Can't imagine my life without her. CHA is a great and very supportive organization. Great. And thanks for that, Lori. And from a listener on Facebook, important tip, never get a pet as a surprise gift for someone. I get nodding heads all around. Michael, do you talk about that in your book?
You know,
Do you feel like, do you have to?
Well, you know, because the book came out when it did, and it's November and December, and we're, you know, I'm touring around the country talking.
Right.
I'm trying to say without any sense of self-aggrandizement, this is the present. You get a copy of My Dog. You begin the conversations, and you begin to meet with rescue groups. You interview breeders. You try to figure out, what does my home need? What is the dog going to do in each room of the house? So that, you know, all those questions are answered, and then you can contact the Franklin County Animal Shelter. You can look at options.
Right, and you not only want to make sure that the person you're want to give a dog to wants a dog, but you have to make sure that everybody in that household is on board with this. And we will not allow someone to purchase as a gift. We have certificates that they can purchase to give to a person, and that person can come in and pick out their match.
Great.
From Amy, email, we are having a baby any day now, and our 18-month-old dog is careless about where he steps and who he runs into at full speed. He's an adopted dog. We've had him since he was 8 weeks old, and he is now 50 pounds. He is very sweet but reckless. How can we get him to stop stepping on people, running into people, and licking faces? This is important as we bring a baby home soon. Chris, you want to?
Yeah, a couple of things. What this brings up is that every dog needs training. I don't care what the temperament is, they need training. And as Michael said, they need structure in their life. They need to know what's expected of me, what behavior is going to please my master. And most dogs crave that. And when they don't get training, you get all these attention-seeking type behaviors that is very normal for the dog, but the dog does it because they don't know what they need to do to get their owner's praise and attention. So some good positive reinforcement, basic obedience classes and training would be a great thing. But in general, I think the other thing that people always have to think about, and I always tell our clients, whether it's with a puppy or an older dog, behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. So when you have a dog that comes up and jumps at you, when you have a dog that stands on his back legs and demands attention, when you have a dog that bumps you in the leg and you give them immediate attention or a reward or food, you're rewarding that behavior. So you always have to back up and say, is this a behavior I want repeated? And if it's not, you've got to think, what am I doing to reinforce it? And you've got to stop doing that. That alone can make a big difference, especially with puppies.
Those are great, great advice. The other thing I would simply add that the good doctor mentioned earlier is a structured exercise. It's so easy when a new baby comes in to say, you know what, the schedules have changed. We're up all night. We're tired. We can't do things regularly. That dog should have increased exercise, be a little more tired, and know that it happens here, here, and here in the day. Picture kids at school that wouldn't know when recess is coming. There's no attention. You know, they're crawling out of their seats. But if they know it's only 10 more minutes and then I go to recess, you can make the day work better.
We're talking with Joe Rock, director of the Franklin County Dog Shelter and Adoption Center, and Chris Coffrin. She's managing veterinarian for the Animal Hospital of Worthington, and also Michael Rosen, author of My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. We've got calls we want to get to and some emails as well. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, we're talking about what to do if you're going to adopt a dog and what to do if you've already adopted the dog and you need some help managing it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can Facebook page, go to the Facebook page as well. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we discuss the early history of the birth control movement with Jill Lepore. She says it's easy to think the politics surrounding the issue have always been the same as now, but
the arguments made by one side or the other have kind of switched sides over time more than once.
Lepore writes about the history of Planned Parenthood in the current edition of The New Yorker. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon. And join us tomorrow for All Sides with Ann Fisher at 11 o'clock for a discussion of Montessori education methods and research. That is tomorrow on All Sides with Ann Fisher at 11. And later today at approximately 2 p.m., Ohio will participate in a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. It will be heard on radio and seen on local cable and satellite TV. For more information on this test, visit FEMA.gov. 57 degrees in downtown Columbus with cloudy skies and some light rain. Showers off and on throughout the day, mainly before 1 o'clock this afternoon, with wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour at times. A high of 62 degrees today. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 37 degrees. There's a slight chance of rain for Thursday, a high of 46. Mostly cloudy Thursday night, a low of 30 degrees. And then for Veterans Day, partly sunny but chilly, a high of just 46. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about dog adoptions. It's complicated, fun to think about, complicated to execute. My guests, Joe Rock, director of the Franklin County Dog and Dog Shelter and Adoption Center, and Christine Coffrin, she's managing veterinarian for the Animal Hospital of Worthington. Michael Rosen, he's author of My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. We want to get to your calls, but we do want to talk about a larger issue. It's kind of the generally, how do you know what kind of dog to get in the first place? We've been talking kind of if you live in a small apartment or if you live in a you know that kind of environmental thing, but what about the idea, Chris, of a mixed breed or a purebred or what?
Well, I think when clients come to me and have questions about what should I be looking for in a dog, what type of dog do I want, I guess there's two big questions that I talk about. One is puppy versus adult, because very different needs, very different time requirements, and people need to think that through very carefully, whether they have the time, energy, situation to deal with the puppy. The other issue becomes you're going to go to the shelter and get a mixed breed dog? Are you looking at a purebred dog? And what I try to do is lead clients through that discussion of what's the pluses and minuses, because there are pluses and minuses both ways. And, you know, when you talk about purebred dogs, assuming you're getting a dog from a good breeder that's a good breed representative, you've got some predictability there. You know how big it's going to be. You know what its coat is going to look like. You have a pretty good idea about exercise requirements. Is this dog going to be a chewer? So you've got some predictability. Mixed breed dogs, you don't have the same degree of predictability because oftentimes you don't know the genetic background. Now, having said that, I think with your mixed breed dogs, because typically they are a wide mix of different different genetic pool, In some cases, you may have a dog that can work out and be very adaptable to most situations. So, you know, it's not an either or. It's one or the other is one is better than the other. It's what are you looking for and what's important to you and how predictable do you have to have that dog be in terms of certain characteristics. And I think usually people can go one way or the other pretty quickly. And if they say, I really need this type of dog and these are the characteristics that I absolutely have to have, then we can talk about, okay, if you want a purebred dog, what breeds would fit those characteristics? What ones wouldn't? And then you get into the conversation of where do you get a good breed representative coming from a reputable breeder? And that's a whole different conversation. You know, if we're looking at a mixed breed puppy or an adult, then it's a case of let's get you to a place where there's going to be a nice range of dogs that you can get good information of, and places that are really doing a good job to identify the temperament of those dogs, to address the health needs of those dogs. And certainly that's something that we're really fortunate here in Franklin County to have some excellent organizations there. And the Franklin County Dog Shelter does a a tremendous job. I can't say enough about them. And we see dogs that come from a whole variety of backgrounds, some shelters, some rescue groups that may be further out, poorly funded, volunteer only. You certainly don't have the same advantages that you have going to Franklin County or Capital Area Humane Society to pick out a puppy.
A lot of those groups, of course, are saving dogs that are going to be euthanized usually.
Right, and that's all the dogs that come to us, it's that's usually their last chance. And same with other humane society rescues. So even if you're looking for a purebred dog, there's a misconception that shelters don't have them, but that's not true. They don't always have them, but if you are looking for one and are willing to wait a little while, you will find one at a shelter, and as well as rescues, which specialize in certain breeds.
Yeah, I want to just echo both of my colleagues' comments that just to celebrate or praise those individuals who do, whether it's mixed breed rescues like the Columbus Dog Connection or specific breed rescue, they will be fostering a dog. So someone who wants to know, how did this dog work, know, a larger facility like, you know, the amazing new shelter at the old Northland Mall, you know, while they can take on any number of dogs for a shorter period of time, some of the rescue groups can take on a caller or a new family and introduce them to a dog in a way that's perhaps more integrated. They already know how well the dog integrates.
And one other thing that I think is really important with many of those excellent rescue groups is, as Michael said, those dogs have been fostered, so you have a little bit of an idea how they work out in an actual home environment, but virtually all of those groups will take a dog back if it's not working out in the environment. Right. It's not a, what do I do with the dog now? It's not what I thought. You call them, the dog goes back. So that's a real good, that's a real asset to have for someone who's not 100% sure.
Ash in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ash.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of points. One is about adopting abused dogs. Speaking of personal experience, we adopted a Yorkie when he was about 5.5 years old, and this was, you know, close to 20 years ago. And the previous owner essentially used to beat him because he was an inveterate thief. He could not stop himself getting into food, and she thought the best way to deal with it was whacking him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we adopted him, and the first day we got him, my wife and I went to work, and he went to the bathroom, and he made a little puddle in there. And my wife asked me, what do we do about this? I said, nothing. I just put a paper towel there. The next day he went there, and he stopped going there. But we had to alter our behavior. If I raised my arms to take off my shirt, he would pee. I would raise my voice, he would pee.
Mm-hmm.
It took him a couple of years to get over that, but he was still really wary of strangers or kids who waved their arms wildly and got excited.
So
my basic point is that every animal is different, and you have to look at it as an individual, you know? It sounds simplistic, but it's not. Too many people think, oh, dogs are dogs, you know? Every dog's a dog. But every dog is not the same kind of dog as the next dog.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that call, Ash.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, he makes a great point that every dog is an individual, and you can't go into a new adoption. I know everybody, dog lovers that have been around for a while, have lost a dog. And my first thought was, I want to find a dog just like the one I had. And that's not realistic. You have to appreciate each dog for the individual characteristics that it has.
You know, piggybacking on what Ash had to say, and Ash, again, thanks for that call. An email from Colleen, she says, 3 years ago, I moved from New York City to Athens, Ohio to start grad school, and one of my main inspirations was the idea that I could get my very own dog. I went to the Athens County Dog Shelter and found a little 35-pound female boxer pit mix. She was next on the kill list because she had been there so long. I fell in love and just couldn't leave her. The guys at the shelter were so excited that I was taking her home that they gave her to me for free. She was clearly abused as a pup, scared of everything and everyone. She was a basket case when I brought her home, but so lovable. Several years later, after lots and lots of work and patience, she is a wonderful, well-adjusted pet. I am so grateful I found her and will always treasure my very special shelter pup. Oh, God, Colleen, you're really killing me, Colleen.
It's just beautiful, though, that she underscored two things after lots and lots of time and devoted energy. You know, think about it like you've had a computer that's corrupted and it's got a virus and all that stuff and nothing's and it's wonky. you know, a dog, an abused dog can be like that, and you literally have to erase the disc and build it up again. You have to reinstall trust. You have to reinstall, you know, predictability, and that can be done. It does require
time.
A certain individual, yeah.
Rick in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Yeah, hello. This is for the doctor, I guess, or for any one of you three experts. I recently adopted a dog. Let me start at the beginning. I was living in a home with a 90-year-old gentleman. This was his dog, and he'd raised it from a pup. He passed away in July. The dog seems like she's grieving for the loss of her previous owner. I've since adopted her. But is there some way or something I can do to help her through this grieving? Because sometimes she'll go by his room that he had. She just wants to lay in front of the door, and it's like she's listless so much of the time. And I worry that she may be going through depression, because I know dogs go through depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of, is there anything you can do to stop that dog from missing her original owner? Probably not. They have to go through that process just like we do, and that dog's acutely aware of her owner not being there anymore. I think the best thing you can do is create the stable environment and the positive reinforcement that bonds her to you so that she has an alternative, because you know, she can't go back to her old owner. She needs to look upon you as, now you're a different owner, but you're a wonderful person and you are my master now, and she has to relate to you. And that happens with you spending time with her, doing work with her, taking her places, doing all the things to make her your dog now. And they do adjust, but it takes time.
Okay, Rick, thanks for that call. It's a good question. Let's see. Sandra, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You're calling from campus?
Yes, I am. We recently adopted a shepherd mix from the Franklin County facility about 4 weeks ago, and she's about 18 months old, and it's gone actually very well, generally integrating her into our home with a 6-year-old German Shorthair as well as a 13-year-old Brittany. One of the behaviors that we're seeing with her is a tendency to nip when she wants attention, like she just tries to bite everywhere, trying to get you to play with her, and it's hard to get her to calm down, and I don't want to be aggressive with her or overly try to emphasize that behavior by responding to it, but I'm not sure how to discourage that in her in an appropriate way.
I'm sorry, I missed whether she was nipping humans or nipping the other animals.
Humans.
Okay.
Anyone want
to? You know, I think this all comes back to some of the things we talked about in the beginning. One is exercise. Mm-hmm. If you have her with what was it, a Brittany and mm-hmm. another
German
sporting
short
dog, German Shorthair,
mm-hmm. yep.
I would try to find venues where those three could go out, romp, play, and
mm-hmm.
run and get
mm-hmm.
her tired. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we always tell our clients a tired puppy is a good puppy. So exercise is huge. The other thing then is getting some basic training with this dog so that she learns what are the appropriate ways to get attention, because that's attention-seeking behavior. And if she finds the right way to get her attention, that may be sit, down, come, then you have a dog that's looking to you for direction and doing positive things to get your attention, and that's the whole key.
And the best time to make corrections is at the time of the behavior. So if you do encounter that behavior immediately, come up with a noise or a word that lets that dog know that it's not acceptable, and put it in a timeout. I like to consider it a timeout. I had two crates in my home. One was used for when the dog misbehaved, would go in there for 5 minutes, and it would associate that behavior with being separated, not with getting attention.
But you'd have another crate where it was home and it always wanted to go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sandra, thanks for that call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, basic bite inhibition is just one of the key things that you need to establish early on and forever. It's acceptable for dogs. It's not acceptable for humans. One of the simple ways is simply to do pretend that it hurt you. Pretend and do a yip and turn your back, and the dog is thrown out of your attention and comes away thinking, God, he's so sensitive. I mean, I barely touched him.
Wuss. John in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. I have just introduced a 10-week-old Staffordshire Terrier into my house, and we have a 6-year-old Lasso. puppies being puppies, when she gets out of her crate for playtime, her idea of playing is chasing the lasso around the house, and the lasso doesn't particularly appreciate it. Now, I give her plenty of exercise. I've had her for 10 days. But she gets walked 3 times a day, taken out, everything. How can I calm her or break her of this wanting to chase the other dog?
What is the other dog's response when the puppy chases her? Does she run? Does she hold her ground? Does she growl at the puppy?
Yes,
what does she do?
All of the above. She will play occasionally, and they'll chase each other up and down. And then she will stand her ground and growl.
And then she's done.
She will show aggression, although she does nothing about it. She'll growl, show teeth, she'll bark. But, I mean, she does not attack the puppy. But she will stand her ground, as you put it. And the puppy could care less. She just thinks she's playing with her some more.
So does, first of all, what the adult dog is doing is perfectly appropriate dog behavior.
Correct.
She is telling the puppy enough is enough. So then the question is, does the puppy respect that, and does the puppy back off?
No.
If the puppy does not respect it and she doesn't get firmer with her corrections, some dogs, if you stay out of it, will get firmer with their corrections. And that doesn't mean she's going to hurt the puppy, but that growl may become a quick grab, a snap, a snarl, something that makes the puppy say, oh, boy, I don't want that. So if she will do that, that would be the best thing that would happen. If she absolutely won't do that, and the puppy keeps coming and starts to push her around and be assertive with her, I think that's where you have to get involved and say, puppy, you're in a timeout. You know, when that behavior starts, if the older dog can't get the puppy to listen with normal dog behavior, you may have to get involved to break that up. But many older dogs, if you just stay out of it, will take care of themselves in that situation.
Thanks, John. We're running out of time. I wanted to squeeze in one more question from Greg. Can you make it quick, Greg?
I sure can.
Okay.
We've got a young Cocker Spaniel. We diverted her from a shelter by adopting her from a friend a couple years ago. And I love when she lays on the couch or sits on the couch and watches TV with me. I'd rather her not be on the furniture at other times. And I'm just wondering, I know consistency is important. Should you take an all-on or all-off approach to pieces of furniture, or can you have circumstantial situations
so
like that?
Is it all or nothing? Thanks, Greg. And we need
a fast answer would be train the dog for a blanket. Wherever the blanket is, it's cool. Wherever the blanket isn't, it's not cool. They can very clearly make that distinction.
The other thing you could do is train the dog that you come up by invitation only. So when you're invited, it's fine. If you're not invited, you don't get on.
Okay. Thanks for that. Thanks for all the great questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls or emails today. We'll try it again next time. Joe, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very
much.
And
have a happy grand opening on Saturday.
Thank you.
Joe Rock is the director of the Franklin County Dog at Shelter and Adoption Center. And Michael Rosen. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
What a pleasure. Thanks, Ann.
Michael is the author of My Dog, A Kid's Guide to Keeping a Happy and Healthy Pet. And Chris Coffrin, glad you could join us.
Thank you, Ann.
Appreciate it. Chris Coffrin is the managing veterinarian for the Animal Hospital of Worthington. Thanks for joining us today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Yesterday, Mississippi voters rejected an initiative that